हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so now the Drupad's Brahmana has come and given the message that the Pandavas don't want war, they want peace, but they just want their kingdom back. And now Bhishma has agreed with that, but then Karna, then she stood up and said, you know, this is all nonsense. You know, we have a bigger army. Why we should, you know, listen to you know, this kind of discussion? We, as far as our calculation, there's still many months left to go, you know, and things like this. So they're all making these excuses and that, and Dhritarashtra seeing that this is something serious. This isn't just another game by his son. This is going to be have major effect if they go to war. So he said, give me some time, I'll send Sanjaya. Right? So then he returned, you know, to his place. He would sit, he'd contemplate, he'd think. But whenever he spoke to his son, he's Dhritarashtra, he felt powerless in his hands. Even when he tried to instruct Duryodhana in righteousness, Duryodhana simply laughed. The prince's view of righteousness did not include justice for the Pandavas, right? He might be righteous in all other aspects, but in this one thing, no. So he may see is that because if he deals in the kingdom properly, he deals with the citizens, he deals with the law properly, then one, his power in the kingdom will go on nicely, he'll get the pious credit, he'll be, you know, he'll prosper. But so he may be righteous in all things except when it comes to the Pandavas. It seemed that providence was in control and that they were all moving inevitably towards some divine plan. Dhritarashtra sighed and loosened his heavy royal robes. Perhaps he should take stern action and have his son chastised or even imprisoned. But he simply felt unable, right? Because that was one point that was made before, is that, oh, well, just take him and put him in jail. You know, and then he can't do anything. And when he gets the right attitude, then you let him out. Or Bhishma even had the guy send him to the Pandav, to the forest. Yudhishthira will live in the forest for 12 years. Let him also go there and live with them. But not only that, he'll go there and serve them. Right? So, you know, these ideas have come up, but he can't. He's just so attached. He's just so much affection, right? But misguided. All he could do was advise the prince for his own good. After that, it was between him and his own destiny how he chose to act. The king called for Sanjaya. Sanjaya was intelligent and affectionate towards the Pandavas. He would certainly be the best man to send as an envoy to them. He would know what to say to pacify them. Perhaps he would even be able to prevent a war, right? So prevent a war means for them to agree to not have a kingdom. And just to have no, you know, no position really as Kshatriyas, and maybe go back to the forest and just live with the Brahmins, right? Because that's, you know, he's making, perhaps you can even be able to, but the point is Duryodhana is the one who's making the war, not the Pandavas. So that means then the Pandavas have to, you know, do something, not even follow their duties, just go back to the forest or something. Then he's thinking, oh, then everything will work out. Sanjaya entered the room, and after he had announced himself, Dhritarashtra said, "O Sanjaya, the sons of Pandu are now living in Virata. Please go to them and convey my feelings. O learned one, I have never heard of faults in those men. Even now, after suffering so much at our hands, they remain friendly towards us. They act only to acquire virtue and never fall into ignorance, folly, or laziness. Those heroes have conquered their senses and live only for others' benefits. They have no enemies other than the great, great weak-brained fool, my son, Duryodhana, and the still meaner Karna. Duryodhana is strong only at the beginning of endeavors, because he has So, because he is so given to indulgence, right? Because motive passion means you start an endeavor with great prowess, but you don't finish it like that. And so he's saying because of that, he can't finish anything. While the Pandavas, you see, they finish things all the way through. They do everything because they have no attachment. Still, he thinks himself capable of robbing the Pandavas of their rightful share. Who could hope to stand against Yudhishthira, Keshava, Arjuna, Bhima, Madri's twin sons, Satyaki, and the other great kings? Indeed, Arjuna alone, with Krishna guiding his chariot, can subdue the three worlds. His arrows fly in clouds, roaring like thunder and sweeping away everything in their path. Right? And he's not just saying this in some way to, as a matter of just, you know, flattering in that. He's meaning that, and it's been seen. It's not this, like Karna talks, but no one's ever really seen any serious prowess. But Arjuna doesn't talk, but we've seen his prowess. Dhritarashtra thought about the upcoming battle again and again. He knew his sons did not stand a chance. Although they had a bigger army, that would not stop the Pandavas, assisted as they were by Krishna, from winning, because he knows Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, so attached, he acts on the material platform. He can't take advantage of that understanding. Dhritarashtra revealed his fears to Sanjaya. No one can hope to conquer Krishna. He is always victorious. He is the best of all men and the Lord of the worlds. With his support, the Pandavas could, I am certain, stand against the celestial host. Headed by Indra and Mahadev. It's happened before. It's just Arjuna and Krishna alone defeated the host of Indra and the demigods. Just he and Arjuna together have already shown their power at Kandava. You know, that's the point. What then can we expect when they unite with Bhima and the twins? Our army is finished. The Pandavas' power is inestimable. O Sanjaya, let me tell you about the other kings who have rallied to their cause. Right, so now if you add Bhima and the twins, and then how much? So they were already defeated at Virat, just by Arjuna. Now you add in Bhima and then, you know, there won't be an elephant left. You know, he's going to... Dhritarashtra had already heard from his spies about the situation in Virat. After listing all the kings supporting the Pandavas, he again turned it to discussing Krishna. It was Krishna he feared. Just see how easily he had slain the mighty Shishupal, Naraka, Kamsa, and many others. He is surely Vishnu incarnate. Thinking of Krishna's power and Vishnu's deeds in former ages, I find no peace, right? Because he knows the histories and that Vishnu kills all the demons. O son of Gavalgani, perhaps the only person I fear more is Yudhishthira. I do not fear anyone as I fear him. He has long practiced austerity and dedicated himself to virtue. Whoever receives his wrath will be consumed like a reed falling into fire. His cause is just. This also frightens me. Right? Because he says God is there, but you know, but you know, there may be a question of discussion or something. But the Yudhishthira, his virtue is such that you upset him, just that itself will destroy you, right? Because he's just so, he is the rightful emperor of the world, right? And he already established himself, and he did it righteously. He didn't do it by tricks like Duryodhana. Duryodhana may be sitting on the throne now for the world. You know, technically his father is, but it's, you know, run by him. But it wasn't gained righteously. Yudhishthira gained the world righteously. And it was acknowledged by everyone from the universe. The demigods came. It's not that it was just local kings. Throughout the universe, everyone came to the Rajasuya. It's a very big affair, the Rajasuya. I think the last time it was done was by Harishchandra. You know, and so that's, and Harishchandra is, you know, amongst kings, is very, very famous. So it's a very special thing. So, yeah. Dhritarashtra fell silent for some moments. He had to think of some way of stopping the Pandavas from taking up arms against his sons. Some way that was other than returning their kingdom, right? So they have to keep him from fighting, but not give back their kingdom. But the two kind of are, you know, somehow or another linked. Sighing, he went on addressing Sanjaya. Go in a swift car to the high-minded Yudhishthir and speak affectionate and kind words. Tell them that I desire peace and will comply with any request he makes. Inquire after his welfare and that of his friends and followers. Say whatever you feel is appropriate to promote the interests of our race. Do not speak anything that will give rise to hostility. Because when he says our race, meaning one, the Kauravas, but two, technically, the Kshatriyas. Because if this war happens, then there won't really be any of quality Kshatriyas left. Without offering assurance that the Pandavas would regain their kingdom, Dhritarashtra gave his own message to Sanjaya and then asked him to leave at once. So he didn't say they'll get the kingdom, right? But he's just trying to get peace without giving them the kingdom. Because he knows if there's war, then that everything will be lost. Chapter 42, Dhritarashtra's message. The Pandavas were sitting alone with Krishna when they received word of Sanjaya's arrival. Yudhishthira asked that he be brought in at once and then received him warmly. Sanjaya bowed before Krishna and all the brothers. After he was seated, he said to Yudhishthira, "It is fortunate, O king, that I find you in good health and among friends. Surrounded by your brothers and the illustrious Krishna, you appear like Indra. The aged and wise Dhritarashtra inquires after your welfare, along with the well-being of your wife and other relatives." After saying that everything was well and asking after the Kuru's welfare, Yudhishthira said, "Do the Kurus still think well of us? Do they remember Arjuna's unequaled prowess and that he can send 60 arrows at once from his bow? Do they remember the mighty Bhima, who can make entire armies tremble when he picks up his mace? Do they remember the twins who conquered so many regions of the earth by the strength of their arms?" Right? Remember, each one of them on their own went out. And so one of them conquered the western side of Bharat, the other conquered the southern side. So their, you know, their prowess is very great, because when they go out, it means all the kings that are there. It means all the five Pandavas, they themselves are each more powerful than any other king with their armies on earth. Right. So that's why then it's being pointed out that why would you want to fight with them? They've already defeated all the kings of the world. Right? Surely Dhritarashtra's sons have forgotten the defeat they met at Dvaitavan, when Bhima and Arjuna had them released. Although he would be their friends and live with them in peace, I fear this will not come to pass. Alas, Sanjaya, there seems to be no way to win Duryodhana over, despite our best endeavors. Right? Because up to now, he spoke everything. Sanjaya inquired about them and this and that and all these different things. He didn't say, because the point is if you're giving a message, for Kshatriyas, they start with what's the point first. Then they get into all the other things. You know, it's just like that. But he didn't. He just asked about the welfare, you know, how they're doing, and, you know, how's this one and that one, and like that. So that means, no, he's not planning. Then, so, "It is exactly as you say," Sanjaya replied sadly. "The Kurus are well, and they certainly remember you. Duryodhana is surrounded by both wise and wicked men, but he takes his inspiration only from the latter. His behavior towards you is surely reprehensible. His father sincerely regrets it. Indeed, the old king often sits sighing, lost in feelings of repentance, for the ill treatment you brothers have received at Kuru's hands. He has consulted Brahmins and knows that conspiring against friends is the worst of all sins. The king wants only to make a lasting peace amongst us all. Yes, the Kurus remember your power. It is a mystery how men of your caliber are forced to suffer so much misery. But we are sure that you will never abandon virtue for the sake of pleasure. O you who have created no enemies, listen now as I convey to you Dhritarashtra's message." Yudhishthira asked that Sanjaya speak the message before all the kings gathered at Virat's court. The charioteer then stood in the midst and bowed before speaking. "I offer you my respects. Dhritarashtra has sent me here to say that he desires peace. He inquires about your welfare and asks with all sincerity that there be peace among us. This is what he has said. The sons of Pandu are all virtuous. They are incapable of a mean act. Yudhishthira is mild, generous, and forgiving, and acts only for the welfare of all beings. How could he be responsible for an act that will destroy us all? That is sinful, and that leads only to hell, an act that will bring the same result, regardless of who is successful. Blessed are those who promote their citizen cousin's interests. They are truly sons, well-wishers, and friends of the Kurus, who are prepared to sacrifice their own interests for that of the dynasty. Right, so he's saying all this, and it is correct. Like this, you know, who would start a war? Who would not, you know, support their cousins? Who would fight against? Who would do all these things? But the point is his sons are already committed to this. They're already sinful. So now, instead of saying that my sons are like this, what can I do? So maybe if you can do something like that. No, he's just putting the blame onto them. He's doing the same thing that that Karna did. You know, doing it in a nicer way. But he's basically saying is that since Yudhishthira only works for the citizens' welfare, he only does right, why would he want a war that's going to be, you know, so sinful and give such a bad reaction? So whether they win or we win, it's going to be bad in either way. So isn't it better not to have a war? So he's presenting it as if Yudhishthira is pushing for the war. But in one sense, the point is that it's Duryodhana who's pushing for the war, because he won't give the kingdom back. And he says, no, let us have a war. We have a bigger army. We'll win. So it's actually Duryodhana. But he's trying to ignore that and just put it on now on Yudhishthira. That Yudhishthira will feel bad. Yeah, you're right. You know, we shouldn't fight. You know, like this stuff. Krishna smiled. The kings glanced at each other. Dhritarashtra's message was clear, right? Because, so in other words, he's saying, you step down. We're not going to adjust our position. But he's not saying that. You know, I didn't say that, you know. They listened as Sanjay clarified it further. If you succeed in subjugating the Kauravas, O son of Kunti, and thus regain your kingdom, what will you gain? Having slain your relatives, your life will be like death. What would be the result of a battle in which heroes such as yourselves, Keshava, Satiki, Chaitikana, and others are contending with Drona, Bhishma, Kripa, and Ashwatthama, and the Kuru warriors? It means total annihilation. There will be no good to either side. I find it hard to believe that the Pandavas are capable of causing such destruction. Right? This is all coming from Dhritarashtra. With clasped hands, I fall at the feet of Krishna and of the aged Drupad. Throwing myself upon your protection, I beg that all be well between the Kurus and the Pandavas. If someone requested it, you would give up your lives. Why then would you not act to preserve all these warriors? So you can see that it's a desperate act. You know, he's acting in a sincerity, but unfortunately, because it's tinged with his attachment, then it bears the point that he's trying to put the fault on the Pandavas rather than say, my son is terrible, and I can't control him. I don't know what to do. So if you guys can work out some way to have peace and not have this and that. But he's not going to do that either. Because then it sounds like, because if he does that, his son will be upset. Because then, then we're the bad guys. And then we had to beg from them, right? They had to show their mercy. And so then, you know, he can't speak properly and he has to speak improperly. The hall remained silent. Yudhishthira waited until Sanjaya had taken a seat and said, what have I said that made you think I wanted war, right? You know, so the whole point is now Yudhishthira is going to bring up, why are you thinking I'm the one that wants war? The message that he sent said, we want peace. So it's up to them to give back the kingdom, that's all. But they won't give back the kingdom, so therefore that means war. So it's not that they're doing, but what to do? That's the way the criminal mentality works. So we'll see next time then how it unfolds and how it's dealt with. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.